They are often hungry, abused, and exploited by pimps, drug gangs, and other criminals, and virtually all of them indulge in the deadly practice of sniffing glue to forget about their problems. This is the typical lot of the estimated 1 million plus kids who live on the streets of the major cities in the Philippines. The Catholic Church is among those trying to assist these street kids, who are often seen as vermin or pests by the authorities. The Marinis brothers run a residential centre for street boys in the southern city of Davao and describe the difficulties of rehabilitating these kids into a more normal and structured lifestyle after the freedom of living on the streets. The centre in Davao is run by Father Pablo Rambaud, who was interviewed by Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges. Are they considered vermin as pests by the police? I mean, are they often picked up and arrested? I mean, how do people view these street kids?
Well, the local governments normally tend to remove them from the streets, sometimes in not good ways, sometimes trying to be polite and just bringing them to centers like ours. When there are moments like special feasts or celebrations in the city, police tend to come and remove all these kids from the streets, especially when tourists are coming, so because it's not a nice view. Otherwise, they seem not to bother too much about the reality of the kids in the streets.
Okay, tell us something about the home that you helped to run in Davao. I mean, how many kids do you have there? What do you do with them? How do you try to rehabilitate them?
The center we run, it was founded in 1989 by the Marist Fathers. It's really a foundation. We run the center since 2005. It's a residence program for male street children, boys, between 8 and 14 years old. The idea is to have a transition place. So we don't understand the center as a permanent orphanage or something like this. It's a place where the children that are actually living in the street can find a home where they can start living a more regular or normal life. When they enter in that dynamic is when we are ready to either bring them back home, because many of these kids have families, even if they are living outside of the families. So when the situation in the family is good enough, we bring them back home because it's the best place for a child. If not, unfortunately, many times it's not possible, then we try to move them to other centers that can offer them a more regular program for life. So we see as ourselves as a transition place. They can live with us between 1 to 3 years the most.
And are they getting an education during that time?
One of the main things we try to do is to put them back in the school system. So we don't provide that part, but we send them to the public school, the nearby public school. So really our house is just a house. So what they don't have, a home. Then they attend the public school with the other kids, and we follow them, the process of education, how are they doing. So that's the main part of the program, to try to help these kids to go back to a regular, normal life of a kid. Because the problem is living in the streets is that the life is very irregular, so they don't have schedules, and of course for them it's very difficult to pass from that kind of life in which I do what I want when I want to a more organized life, more regular with a schedule,
structure.
So it takes time for them. It's not easy, that process.
Do you find, in fact, because they say, don't they, that the children really love the freedom, as you say, that they have on the streets, do you find that you get quite a lot of kids who can't make the adjustment and drop out, and what percentage is it?
It's interesting because what I have observed in these past years is that it's very difficult for a kid to enter directly from the street in our center. That's why our center is an open center, meaning some of the kids come, stay with us for 1-2 weeks. They cannot make it at the beginning, so entering in a structured life is very difficult. So they go back to the streets, but they know that they have that place, so they can come back. So maybe after 1-2 months, this boy come back. Maybe he's able that time to make it for 1 month, but then they go back to the streets and then come back. And finally, my experience is that many of them, after, let's say, 1 year of this coming in and out, they are able to enter in the process. Normally also depends on the age. Boys already 12, 13 years old, they start realizing that the street cannot offer them anything. When they are still 8, 9, they just enjoy a lot the freedom of the street. So they cannot measure really the importance of the other part. No? I cannot give percentage, but of course there is unfortunately a big number of boys that cannot make it.
Do you try to enlist the support of the parents, try to persuade the parents that this is the best, better future for their children rather than scavenging a living off the streets?
Yes, this is the other big piece of the program we ran, to work with the family. So our social worker, normally one of the first things she does is to contact the families when we can, because sometimes it's not possible. The kid is many years in the street, and he's not able to remember even where the family comes, but normally it's possible. And that's the part, to connect with the family, to try to see what's the family situation, so that we can reestablish this connection between the boy and the family. Many times the real problem is either there is no real financial capacity in this family to help these kids. So they have many kids and they say, no, I cannot send my boys, all of them, to the school or whatever. No? In other cases, many cases, the problem is really our broken families, new couples, new kids coming from the new couple. So these kids coming from the first couple has felt that they are not loved at home, so they left. So in those cases, it's very difficult to try to convince the family to have them back, because it's like they are already out of that family. So that's the difficulty many times.
Is the problem of street children worsening in the Philippines? Are more and more kids going onto the streets with, you know, particularly with the financial crisis and perhaps, you know, growing social inequalities?
No, I don't think so. I don't see a worsening. In fact, the financial crisis is affecting more the Western world. So the situation in the Philippines is the same. It's not worse.
Now, these kids that are in the street, presumably they're begging, they're engaged in petty theft, prostitution, sniffing glue. Is that how they get by?
One of the biggest problems we have is with the sniffing glue. So that is what really...
How common is it?
I would say 99% of the street children have been involved one time or the other in that.
And they do it so they don't feel the hunger, right?
They do, to forget their problems, they do that. Mm. So that's the part, one of the most difficult things to have them in the center, because they want to go back, because they want to continue sniffing glue, because it's an addiction, really. And the other part, the part of the money they get, when that's also more attractive for them. They like to have their own money. When they are in the center, they cannot have their own money, no? In fact, one of the biggest problems to rehabilitate them is that they are very attracted. So they have a lot of callings from the street, from these gangs, some groups, drug lords, calling them because they receive money, of course, for these things. And also the law protects them in the sense that minors cannot go to jail. So it's a new law in the Philippines. But that has become a very complicated issue, because now many of these drug groups are using minors just for a little money, but for them it's a lot. For the kids, for little money, they start trafficking because they cannot be put into jail. So there is a lot of attractions in the street for these kids.
Coming back to the glue sniffing, how badly does that damage their health? What does it do to them?
But mainly they got dizzy and they start laughing. Of course, they forget everything, what's all the problems that's going around. So
it's a sense of euphoria.
Yes, but the truth, for what I've heard from some doctors that work with us, is that really affects deeply their brains and very fast. I have known the case of two boys, former boys from our center. I have met them later in the rehabilitation center, and they were already like out of their minds. But this is permanent damage. No, it's not a...
So they risk permanent brain damage.
Yes, is what the doctor says. So after a few years regularly using glue, it's permanent damage.
Okay, could you now, if you could share with us an anecdote of one or two of the boys you come across whose case was either particularly bad at the beginning and then how they really improved, or some particularly tragic or inspirational case?
We have a case, he's still now with us. He arrived, I think it was 2.5 years ago. He was at that time 9 years old, I think. When he first came, my first impression and the social worker impression was that he was mentally retarded. He was practically unable to speak in his own language. Very difficult to understand what he was trying to say. Very aggressive. He was continuously throwing whatever was nearby, especially chairs, just throwing everything. At one point, I talked with the social worker, said maybe we have to really bring this boy to the mental hospital because it was very difficult. Well, we kept him for a while, and I can say that now, well, later on, like 1 year after, we were able to put him in a school, in a special school for special cases. But slowly, slowly, this boy started becoming more able to relate with his own peers, because at the beginning, he was not talking at all with the other kids. And after 2 years now, 2 years and a half, this boy is now in a regular school, improving very fast. He has very good friends now among the boys in the center. You see, this boy really was, of course, not mentally retarded. It was a problem of non-development, no, of his capacities, because he was being abandoned. So it was isolated. So he was not able to learn how to speak and how to relate with people. And all this tension and anger within him was expressed simply by throwing all these things. When he found himself in an environment in which he was respected, recognized, addressed, talked to, he started developing his capacities of relationship. And now he's a very nice boy. Is one of these cases you said, this is good, what we are doing here.
Can you tell us some of the success stories of boys who maybe managed to go on and go to university or something after that? Do you have many of those cases?
Not many, but we have some, fortunately. Recalling a case, this boy was a very clever boy. He was the best in his when he graduated in primary school. So we got for him a scholarship in high school, in a very demanding high school. He went through, and he's now studying engineering in one university, public university in Davao. So it's one of these cases that you see it's worth the effort.